Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley. Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 463, entitled Understanding How Cloudflare Boosts WordPress Security and Performance with Jonathan Jernigan. My name is Nathan Wrigley, and a few little bits of housekeeping just before we begin. The first thing to mention is that this episode really should be going out, if all the things align and the cron jobs run and all of that, it should be going out whilst WordCamp Asia is happening. I'll be there, and so if you are also there, it would be lovely to meet up with you. I've probably got a couple of places which are best to reach out to me. The first one, I suppose, would be the WordPress Slack. I'm on there. But also, if you go to X, or Twitter as it was, and search for WP Builds, you can DM me over there. And it would be lovely to hang out with some of you. There's no doubt going to be a little bit of time here and there, and it would be really nice to meet up with some of the people who listen to this podcast. That would be most appreciated. Speaking of listening to this podcast, many people do. And if you have a product or service in the WordPress space, perhaps you would like to get your messages into those people's ears. If you want to find out what we can offer, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more, or just drop me an email, admin@wpbuilds.com. Let's see if we can get your product or service discovered in the year 2026. Podcasts are a very effective way of doing just that. The other thing to say is I am taking a bit of a hiatus because of my departure for WordCamp Asia, and I'm having a couple of weeks off after that. The This Week in WordPress show won't be happening live. We will be back toward the very end of April. I hope you understand. It's very nice to do those episodes, but it's also quite nice to have a little bit of downtime. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am chatting with Jonathan Jernigan. He's been on the podcast several times before. He has got a very popular Facebook group. He runs lots of courses. He's been involved heavily in Generate Blocks and other WordPress products over the years. And today we're talking about Cloudflare, because Jonathan has taken a bit of a deep dive. He wanted to get experienced about what exactly Cloudflare does and how it works. And he's put a course together to explain that. It's not the kind of super deep dive into everything. This course is more for getting a basic understanding of how things work. But if you're like me, you kind of use Cloudflare all of the time, but don't really know what's going on. And so that is exactly why Jonathan has put this course together. So we have a chat about what Cloudflare is, how it works, and some of the benefits that you can gain utterly for free in terms of performance and security by using Cloudflare. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Jonathan Jernigan. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, hello. Am I on the leaderboard for top recurring appearances?
I don't know. I've never thought about that. You're definitely in with a chance, whatever that number
maybe,
is.
Maybe top 10.
Yeah, maybe. No, I think you might be number fourth. If this is the fourth appearance, you might be in the pole position spot. I think Jamie Marsden might have just pipped you. I'm not sure. But thank you for coming on again. Really appreciate it. Jonathan Jernigan and I, we've met in the real world. He's got a new haircut, but you can't see that, but it looks very nice. It turns out there was a whole conversation he and I had prior to hitting record about getting haircuts. So it's been lovely.
It feels wonderful.
Yeah, we've put the world to rights. We've had about 30 minutes of chatting AI, you know, what's happening in the WordPress space and yada, yada. But we're here today.
As I think we have each previous time as well.
Yeah, that's right. We've definitely put the world to rights. But we're not here to talk about that. We're going to talk today about Cloudflare, which is something that I use all the time, but honestly have no idea what I'm doing. And so Jonathan's going to put us straight. First up, Jonathan, just tell us a bit about yourself and what you do and what you have done and what you are doing and all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So glad to be back again. And I have been in WordPress now almost exactly 12 years to the day. I'm 1 month shy of 12 years in the space.
Nice.
So a lot has changed in that time, and especially now, so with as we're seeing rapid advancements in AI, you know, the landscape is evolving extremely quickly, but there still is a lot that we can do in terms of client offerings and for people like us doing podcasts and courses and all that kind of stuff. There's still a lot of interesting topics to cover at any given day. So I primarily I create courses, occasionally create YouTube tutorials, and then I have a membership that's just for people who use WordPress and generate blocks to build client sites. And that's typically where I'm spending most of my time these days, is inside that community. So I kind of pulled away from Facebook, which of course is not easy to do by any stretch, but everything kind of lives in there. So we have this course and community, and that's where I spend my time on the WordPress side these days.
Nice. I'm with you on the Facebook thing, by the way. I spend quite a lot of time not usefully employed fiddling around with WordPress and things like that. And then one morning woke up and said, no. And that was basically the end of that. And that was many years ago. And I gained several useful hours a week back from stepping away from
100%.
Yeah.
I shared a browser extension called Newsfeed Eradicator.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yep. I highly recommend those.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Basically, all social media platforms I use as a kind of an inbox. I use it as a mechanism to communicate with people directly. So, for example, on X, I use their chat functionality. So it's a bit like WhatsApp or something like that. And so long as you don't get tempted to click on the whatever the link is in the menu that gets you into the feed or something, then you're safe. But the minute you click that, there's an hour or so gone as you
it's
watch
muscle memory.
The cats doing the things with the hippopotamus. And on it goes.
Or the AI video of the donuts falling out of the
back
of the truck.
That's right. What have we become? It's the year 2026. The internet showed such promise, and it's all about cats and hippopotamuses. Anyway.
But we're here today to bring that everything back.
Yeah, we're going to straighten you out. So Cloudflare, everybody's probably heard of Cloudflare. I think the most often that people hear of Cloudflare is when somehow you go to some third-party platform, some SaaS platform, and you realize, it's not working. And you think, I'll contact their support. And invariably, it's a Cloudflare thing. Cloudflare seems to underpin, actually to an alarming extent, if you were thinking about single points of failure, it would appear that maybe we're stacking things up on the Cloudflare side. But can you just give our listeners a bit of a clue? If they've never used Cloudflare or any notion of what it even is, what is it? What does it do? What's its promise?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because that's exactly how the course turned from 3 planned lessons on theory and fundamentals into 7.
Okay.
So that's the same rabbit hole I went down. It's like, what exactly is it and how does it work? Well, there's a lot to it, because you first have to rewind all the way back to even just your domain, not even your website itself, but just the domain, and understand that lives somewhere. Somebody holds that. And anytime somebody types in, wpbuilds.com, they have to look up and find out, their computer does, not them physically, of course. They have to figure out, where does that site live? And it's in some physical server somewhere in the world. It's a cloud, that technically is on somebody else's property. Your website lives there. But how does it find that? Well, then you got to look at DNS records. And then, what's a DNS record? It's a street address, basically, for your website. And then it starts to compound into all these things. So suddenly, just to get a website live, you have to have a domain registrar, and you have to have DNS and hosting and A records and all this stuff that are managed in 10 different places. But a product like Cloudflare tries to bring that together. So it's not only is it easier to manage, where your domain, your DNS, not hosting necessarily, but many other pieces are all handled under one dashboard, which, as you kind of alluded to, we are centralizing that in a way that is somewhat alarming. But in Cloudflare's case, they try to be, kind of the benevolent dictator, the good guy.
Yeah.
And give a bunch of really powerful stuff to, mostly non-technical folk like us for free, entirely for free.
So I think that's the...
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I think that's the bit that kind of hooked me into the Cloudflare thing, was a lot of people who I know who are monstrously clever said Cloudflare is really clever. You know, there's a lot of really clever stuff going on in the background. You should get on their free tier. If you, you know, if all you do is get on their free tier, then you're doing good work for yourself there. And I now use it as a domain registrar. I don't know. I think that launched like 3 or 4 years ago or something like that. But now you can purchase domains. And if you purchase the domain over there, which, by the way, is as cheap as I've ever found it. I think they don't make any money on the top of the domains. They charge you what they are charged by the, you know, the registrar in whichever country you're buying it from. And then if you purchase it from them, then they set up a bunch of free stuff, just like you could get if you bought a domain elsewhere and then repointed the DNS and what have you. And before we get into what all of that is, I would also, I don't know if you've ever done like TCP/IP stack, like all of that kind of stuff, got into all of that. It is insane that the internet works. It shouldn't work at all. It's complete nonsense. It's just fairies.
Truly black magic. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely nuts. And
it really is.
Jonathan and I are staring at each other at the moment, and there are thousands of packets going across the internet, all being encapsulated and then de-encapsulated, you know, their layers being stripped off thousands of times a second. Each of those packets has no idea which route it's going to get to Jonathan's computer, but somehow it gets there. We're probably using UDP for this, so it doesn't care whether they arrive in any order or not. If it's TCP, then yes, it does. It'll like number them, and this is all happening like millions of times, and none of it goes in the same direction. And my understanding
is we're across a continent.
Yeah.
We're not in the same country.
Yeah. So some of my face might have gone through South Africa. Some of it might have gone through India. Some of, you know, my hair might have been going through South America somewhere. We've no idea. But the whole thing is just ridiculous. The people who put together the spec and, you know, displayed it to the initial creators of the internet, you know, the Tim Berners, Lees of this world, that kind of thing, Vint Cerf and all that, they must have been... No, this will never work. No.
They must have not only sounded insane when they presented it, but they also must have wondered, will this actually work for real?
Yeah, and it did, and it does, and it now has become almost like a human right. You know, it's on that level. It's a utility, like water and, it's you know, food and things like that.
It has to be. Yeah. So then,
carry on.
From a practical perspective for us, we can take this blindingly complicated, incredible piece of engineering and harness some of the really, really cool characteristics that other people way smarter than us have created. And we can harness those in a website that is potentially, you know, a tiny mom and pop small business site all the way up to the biggest sites in the world run behind Cloudflare. And for a variety of different reasons, you may not use it for the same reasons I do.
Yeah.
And
you've sort of used a phrase there which belies why I think I started using it. So you said behind Cloudflare, which is a curious confection of words, really. But that was my understanding of how it began as an entity. It was like this wall, and you would put your website behind Cloudflare. You'd set up the DNS in such a way that everything that wanted to get to your site and wanted to display your site on their computer, they would have to somehow manage to get through the wall that Cloudflare had built. And if they managed to get through that wall, which presumably in most cases they could, then they could see your website. But in other cases, if there was a, I guess, detection that, oh, hang on, something fishy's going on here, Cloudflare would say, nope, you're not getting in. Is that kind of how it began? Was it basically a firewall, do you know?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And what's so cool about it is I had to come up with a way to try to explain this in the course. So at the risk of basically spoiling the entire first quarter of the course, I came up with this analogy to try to describe like what exactly, you know, your website is on the internet and how Cloudflare incorporates that, but by using a real world analogy. So what I came up with was, if you think about your website on the internet, it's very similar to your house in the real world, where anybody could come to your website at any time, just like anybody could drive to your house at any time if they knew approximately where it was. So then when you add on like a security plugin, like, you know, whatever security plugin you can name, it's effective, but it's not super effective, because then by the time somebody's reached your house and they've breached the door, they're already in. The security plugin says, hey, somebody's here, but they're already there. So what good does that do you? So then what would you do in the real world to keep people away? Well, you could just install a fence around the whole property. So then people could get there, but they're kind of blocked at the door. But then how do you let good people through? Well, you might just hire a security guard, and that person's going to verify and double check that those names are legit and they can pass through, and anybody else is just, you know, cast aside at the gate. And that's effectively what Cloudflare is doing for your website automatically. And to your point about our very podcast taking place so fast that there's no appreciable lag or extra delay on top of that. So Cloudflare is actively filtering out these people before they've ever even reached your server, your hosting. So that's what people say when they mean, or that's what people mean when they say, I'm behind Cloudflare. Because if somebody's connecting to my site, they're first intercepted by Cloudflare, who effectively ask them, what's the nature of your visit? And if it's legit, they're going to get passed through. And if not, then they get effectively a screen that just blocks them, and yeah, they never even reach your site. So it does a million things. It protects you, you know, from a security perspective. You can also create incredibly cool firewall rules to get even more specific on who's allowed where and who's not allowed in certain portions of your site. And then, of course, the other huge thing is that Cloudflare has physical presence in over 300 cities around the world. So your website then gets, or portions of your site, I should say, get replicated to all these places. So again, in the course, I talk about how, imagine you're a law firm and, you know, you're based in Chicago or whatever. You might have somebody who's perfectly legitimate that wants to connect to your site from Vienna. And so they have to go, you know, around the world, effectively 5,000 miles. And that connection is not slow, but it's certainly not quick. Going that far is very doable, but it could be faster. So when your site is, again, behind Cloudflare, they replicate large portions of your site to their data centers all over the world. So that person in Vienna then connects to your site directly in Vienna. They don't even have to make that hop over to Chicago. And if they do, it's for a small portion of the site, like the HTML only, for example, because they've already been served CSS, MP3 files, fonts, images, everything like that from that little data center directly in their city. And there's hundreds of them all around the world, all over Europe, South Africa, you know, Central and South America, everywhere you can name, all over Asia, they're everywhere. So we then are protected, you know, with that incredible firewall, and your site is replicated all around the world. So it's just way, way, way faster.
You know, in terms of the firewall, when you were describing it there as a house, what immediately came into my mind, I'm really into medieval history, I love it. I was thinking more of a car, you know, that Motte and Bailey castle kind of thing, where you've got the big mound in the middle and there's a castle on the top, and but beneath the mound is a great big wall, you know, just massive stone wall. And it doesn't matter how hard you try, you're not getting over that wall. You have to go through the gate. And in order to get through the gate, it's got to be opened. And as you've described with the front door, so that was where my head went. What I always find curious, though, about Cloudflare, and forgive me, Cloudflare, I'm sorry about this, but everything that I've ever used of yours has been free. I've never paid for any Cloudflare thing. And that kind of makes me pause. Okay, we know the analogy from Facebook and Google. If you're not paying, then you are, in effect, you know, the product. You are the thing that is propping the whole business up. How does Cloudflare manage to keep this giant cavalcade of free stuff free? I mean, I know they've got a business tier, but it always seems like everybody I know is on the free tier. So
for sure,
how does it work?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I assume that they must just have such monster mega whale enterprise clients, right, that their bills are paid by those people. But they have a blog post on their site from many years ago that specifically talks about how valuable the free plan is, and that they are committing to it indefinitely, that it's a commitment they've made to make this free plan extremely useful and to not change that at any point. So that very thing gave me pause when I thought about creating this course. I thought, yeah, but it's free now. Will it be in 6 months, tomorrow? Who knows?
Yeah.
But that post kind of gave me some confidence. And then I think they go on in that blog post to talk about the value of free users, because with so many more sites, so many more attack vectors exposed, they're able to then leverage that data that these free users gave them to then protect not only everybody, but their paying, you know, enterprise clients.
Mm.
And their whole idea is that they can sustain enormous attacks, you know, from organizations the size of governments, and they'll be able to withstand, you know, bot attacks and DDoS attacks and all those nasty things that happen.
I can't bring the numbers to bear, but every once in a while, there is a blog post which comes out of the Cloudflare blog, which kind of illustrates the numbers. You know, okay, we had this thing last week. Here's a kind of breakdown. And I've got to say, I think they're really good at being introspective and then telling you what the heck happened. You know, they're not like, oh, nothing to see here. They're much more, well, this went horribly wrong and here's what happened and here's how we fixed it. And I find that quite refreshing. And that seems to be from the boardroom level down. Nobody seems to be immune from that level of honesty. Certainly that's what I'm picking up. But when you read those articles and you hear the numbers, they're kind of, it's almost like you're talking in astronomy terms, you know. The numbers are just unimaginable. It's like, oh yeah, we had like 15 million hits a second on this particular, I'm making numbers up. I don't know what they were. I can't remember what they were, but it's of that order of magnitude. And you think, gosh, that, like, what? How is that even possible? And I presume
absolutely
that what you're saying is that, you know, on some level, the business customers must be able to pay for the freeloaders like me.
Yeah, I think they must operate at such a scale that for a company to pay Cloudflare, who knows, again, making up figures, $100,000 a year, millions of dollars a year to protect them and provide all these firewall services.
Yep.
It's just a cost of doing business for them.
Yeah. And
these are massive enterprises.
Yeah, because you can imagine, I don't know. So, you know, if I'm thinking about the likes of Google and Amazon and people like that, we know that they've got their own stack. So it's very, very unlikely that they're using Cloudflare. But other companies, you know, think of giant retail outlet like Walmart or something. I have no idea what Walmart uses, but maybe they've got their own infrastructure. But you know what I mean. That kind
Certainly.
Of level where being down for 3 minutes at Christmas is like probably tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. And so if you can calculate what the potential losses are over minutes or hours or days or weeks or whatever it may be, and you can do the calculation, figure out, well, actually, Cloudflare's not that, it's really good value. I suppose it all adds up. It must add up, otherwise they wouldn't still be here, I guess.
Certainly, yeah. And then I think because they offer the same quality of service to the free lobbies like us, they like then have that same skill to deploy it at scale to, you know, a million visitors a minute. And I don't know for sure off the top of my head, you know, famous massive companies that are behind Cloudflare, but I would imagine companies as large as something like Shopify, if they don't use Cloudflare, they probably have some custom contract with them to do some, you know, portion of mitigation, keep these sites online. So the cool thing is that these massive companies are funding this development on this tool that then we can use for, you know, just normal small business sites and get genuine, actual, real benefit out of. And the thing that really sold it to me was the spam prevention, which now in AI, the age of spam is changing. And what the example I talk about all the time is I have a real estate law client whose domain name is just four letters, and they purchased that domain, which formerly was for a conference in Europe that now no longer exists. But because that conference was around for many, many, many years, there's all kinds of backlinks all over the internet that still point to that domain name, which of course are entirely irrelevant to their business today. So they would get hammered with spam, just like nothing I've ever seen. You log into WordPress and check Gravity Forms and there's 1,000 spam entries. Like it made their contact forms useless.
Yeah.
I mean, just there was no way around it. It was junk. Even if a good one came through, you couldn't see it in the sea of spam.
Yeah.
So when we got desperate, I added, you know, turnstile to the form and CAPTCHA and stuff like that. And of course it made effectively no difference. And then finally I this has been now been a little over 2 years ago, I put them behind Cloudflare, as they say. And it was almost like somebody flipped the switch.
Wow.
Just suddenly the spam, it wasn't gone entirely, but like 95% of it was gone, to the point where maybe, you know, every fifth one, every tenth one was spam. And suddenly their forms were useful again. And that was the moment for me where I was like, okay, this although has so much more capability than I'm ever going to use and genuinely don't even need to consider ever touching, but what it can do with a couple extra clicks is just, it's staggering. So, and the other incredible thing about this is, going back to that, you know, guard gate analogy, the fence analogy, there's this term you'll hear a lot called at the edge.
Yeah.
And that term is exactly what we're talking about, where that bot, that spammer tries to connect to your site, but Cloudflare intercepts it at the edge, which means physically at Cloudflare's server in whatever city around the world you're in. And then it determines, should this person be allowed to connect or should it not? That's before it's ever reached your website and your hosting. So you're able to serve more traffic on the same tiny little 2 gigabyte hosting server, simply because the vast majority of the people who make it to the site are legit. They're not bots and spammers. It's not perfect, of course, but it's way, way, way better.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So we have a lot of listeners who, broad amounts of listeners who, some are very experienced, and obviously everything you're saying will be de rigueur, they'll get that. But there's a whole bunch of people who listen who are very inexperienced, brand new to tech. And I think we'll unwrap that a little bit. So the idea here being that your website, if you like, little simulations of your website, copies of it, have been placed at these computers around Cloudflare's edge. So one in Vienna, one in Düsseldorf, one in wherever, you know, Sydney,
Miami, London, Miami, Atlanta, whatever,
300 different destinations. And there it is. And an internet request comes in, let's say from, I don't know, evil country, let's go with that. Evil country, somebody sends a request and it gets to the edge computer that's got your site, and your site doesn't even get involved in that. Cloudflare just puts up the guardrails and says, nope, there's something about you which is raising our spidey sense. We're just going to drop you. You're not penetrating any further in. Now, of course, the net result of that is that your site didn't have to do anything. There was no plugin which got involved. There was no page which got served up. Your site was just sitting there having a rest on the beach, taking its pina colada through the straw, just enjoying life. And all of the nasty things were just washing up against this wall. Now, that sounds like nothing, but let's say that 5,000 of those things were getting through because Cloudflare wasn't there. That's 5,000 things your server's got to do. 5,000 things you possibly have to pay for in a tiny fractional way, but it might all add up. And so
it does.
That is really profound. Just that one little thing is incredibly profound.
It's incredible. Yeah. And it goes even deeper, because like there's this thing that I've called, that of course is not my own grand new creation, but basically taking other people's concepts of what else you can do inside of Cloudflare on that free plan. And the way that I pulled off that spam stop that I mentioned with my real client was simply by taking the default firewall rules that Cloudflare sets up for you automatically with no effort required. They're very, very good. They block remote access to, for us WordPress folk, wp-config. So somebody can't remotely access that file. That's just a Cloudflare thing that they check and they say, whoa, that's wp-config. Nope, nobody can access that. Keep your database safe. You know, keep all your proprietary information safe. But even more so than that, they constantly are updating it with the latest vulnerabilities. So if something comes out, they patch it in their firewall. So then it's just not exploitable. But then we can create our own custom rules on top of that. So I call it the plumber rule, because I like to imagine, think about in your country, a client of yours, if they are a physical service-based business, or even a business that can only service people in your own country, a lawyer or some kind of specialized trade like that, there is no reason, no legitimate reason whatsoever, that anybody except those people inside of that country need to reach that site. So why should evil country A, B, and C be able to reach that site. That's where the spam and the bots and, you know, the malicious traffic is coming from. So when I set up like small business clients, I'm simply creating a firewall rule that says, if this person is not connecting from one of these countries, you know, typically Canada, United States, whatever is applicable for that particular client, then just block them, just drop it entirely. There's no legitimate reason why they need to be connecting. And if there is, we'll create an exception to the rule. We can do that. We have the technology for that. So what that means then is your interior designer, your plumber, your music, well, maybe not musician, but you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Businesses that have literally no ability to service people outside of their own country, just there's no need for that.
Yeah.
Cloudflare handles all of that for you.
Yeah.
So it means less spammers, less attackers, but better performance because the website's only serving legitimate traffic. You don't have as much bloat in the database because spam just typically doesn't even make its way into the database. And you know, there's just so much more you can do too. Like, we can get into the weeds of
yeah,
other things.
I think
that
I'd like to get
useful.
Into the weeds a little bit. One curious thing that I think about the Cloudflare free plan is they're really good at not telling you how great they are. And what I mean by that is all this stuff is kind of going on in the back end and they don't really email you to say, I mean, you get this sort of summary once in a while, but it's not really heavy marketing or anything. It's not like, okay, we did this, we did this, we did this, and so you should pay up because what we didn't do is this. None of that. It all seems to be just, I don't know, altruism is the wrong word because definitely it's a for-profit entity, but there does seem to be some sort of philanthropic side to it. You know, they're helping out the internet to a great extent. And I imagine the vast majority in terms of numbers, not in terms of revenue, but in terms of numbers are on the free plan.
Surely.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get into some of the bits and pieces that are in your course. Some of the sort of more high level stuff, maybe the things that are more of interest to people who are just wanting to explore Cloudflare a little bit more than the free version that you switch on and go with the defaults. What else do you cover?
Well, there's a bunch of really interesting things. First of all, the course is designed for beginners. So if you don't even know what DNS is or a CNAME record is, I spend a lot of time going through those fundamentals because it's so important to really understanding that why. And then another lesson I didn't anticipate at the start, but that I spend time on is the idea of what is a name server.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's relevant for our chat today,
yep.
But just that, like, people are familiar with that term, but what is it?
Yeah.
How does it work?
Yeah.
That's critical.
It's
you
so
have
interesting
to, you have
as
to
well.
Understand that.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Another bewildering piece of technology that just works in the background.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time on the fundamentals like that and then move into the cool stuff. Like I just talked about the firewall rules. That to me is the part of the course. That's the reason it even exists. The firewall and the custom rules that you can create on top of that are just outstandingly good. There's nothing that even comes close. No security. I don't use security plugins on WordPress simply because the firewall rules in Cloudflare are so outstanding and so powerful that there's just simply no reason to. So I spend a lot of time with these firewall rules, creating what I just described, what I call the plumber rule. And then, for example, when you go to a site and you get that pop-up screen and it says, we're making sure you're a human protected by Cloudflare.
Yeah.
That screen, in case listeners aren't familiar, is called a managed challenge. And it's a screen that Cloudflare throws up automatically to say, we saw something just a little bit suspicious here. We want another second or two to make sure that everything is fine. And typically that screen just goes away and you don't have to do anything. But with that firewall, we can say always manage challenge somebody when they come to this specific page or this specific subdomain. So for example, like I typically add that manage challenge rule to the WordPress login page, not because it's the most secure way to do it, but because it is more secure than just leaving it open.
It's another layer, right?
Less intrusive for non-technical clients who have to deal with two-factor. They don't want to do all that. So that's another huge thing, is being able to protect specific parts of the site, like login pages, or like, for instance, we had this recurring issue on our PyCalendar site where we would get spam checkouts that somehow completed checkout but never paid. And we spent forever trying to figure it out. We opened tickets with Easy Digital Downloads and, you know, Gravity Forms and all these people. Nobody had any idea how they were getting through. We had all the settings correct. Everything was fine. We just couldn't figure it out. We put up a managed challenge screen on the PyCalendar checkout page.
Gone.
Like magic. It stopped.
Huh.
Those bogus checkouts just ceased to exist entirely. And we saw no appreciable change to our conversion rate on PyCalendar. It is annoying, we admit. Of course, when you click buy now and you're presented with that managed challenge screen, it is extremely annoying, of course, but it was necessary in this case.
That's
and
so
it worked
interesting.
Brilliantly.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'm now curious as to how the heck do you get through the checkout without actually doing the checkout. Okay, so
yeah, because not only did you have to pay, but you also had to create an account. So somewhere it created the account, but then the payment failed or something. It was impossible to figure out.
Some genius somewhere, you know, stroking their cat.
Malicious genius.
Yeah, that's right. Biting their little finger.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so aside from the firewall, when I go in and honestly, this is me with Cloudflare. This is literally what happens. I buy a new domain. I buy it from Cloudflare. And once I've bought it, I just make sure that I've got the name servers so I can put those in various different places so that I can, you know, put the hosting, you know, make the hosting aware of what's going on. That's kind of it. That's where my relationship ends. But I know, like, there's so much on the menu on the left. There's like 50 things. That UI just got upended. I think it was like a month ago or something. They changed it not significantly, but things got moved around a little bit. And it's at that point that you notice more items because you can't suddenly click where it used to be. And so there's absolutely loads. Are there any other free bits? Like, well, let's deal with the free. Are there any other free bits apart from the firewall and the firewall rules that you think are particularly curious? I mean, we don't have to go into how to implement it. Obviously, that's in, you know, your course and what have you. But are there any free bits that are worth mentioning?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole point of my particular course, and there's another gentleman who has a similar Cloudflare course. It's in the WordPress circles that his course is extremely technical and will show you how to get every last drop out of Cloudflare. But that's actually the exact opposite of the approach that I take in my course and just in effectively everything I do with WordPress. Simply because that's like, you know, I get you to 90% and that final 10% is so difficult and time consuming and diminishing returns that I think that it just simply doesn't make sense to spend all that effort. And that also applies inside of Cloudflare, I believe, because like you said, in that left-hand sidebar, when you log in, I just counted this for the sake of the course, I know, there's 18 individual items. And of those 18, sometimes there's 6 submenus underneath it.
Yeah.
And of those 18, in my opinion, there's only 6 worth paying attention to.
Okay.
And some of them you're going to spend your time in just automatically, like the DNS tab, you know, creating your A records, seeing your name servers, stuff like that. That's just a given. The firewall, they call it security rules, of course, that's a big one. The caching tab, this is another case where I believe that the default caching rules are perfectly sufficient for 99% of us, and I don't touch a single thing under the caching, simply because it's so good as it is that I don't think it's worth changing, especially because when you start doing that, that's when you run into my client sees one thing, I see something else, and our visitor sees something else we can't even predict. You know, caching is just, it can be such a nightmare. So the caching rules, it caches your site by default for 4 hours, and that's just enough. You can crank it as high as you want, but for most of us, you know, we're getting in there, we're making changes, if not every couple days, every few weeks. And
just quickly to hijack that a little bit before you carry on. So in the same way that you don't use a security plugin because you feel that the firewall is really great on the Cloudflare side, do you use any kind of caching plugin which talks to Cloudflare? Let's say, for, I don't know, there might be a setting in the WP admin to clear the Cloudflare cache or something like that. Do you use a caching plugin which leverages Cloudflare, or just, well, anyway, there's the question. Do you use a,
Fantastic question. Yeah. So the only performance plugin I use inside of WordPress is the one called Perf Matters.
Okay.
I'm sure you're well familiar with them.
Yep.
There's not a direct Cloudflare integration per se, but it definitely still is. It still is, you know, applicable and relevant to use Perf Matters or something similar on your site. And I find that if you have to clear the cache in one place, you probably also have to clear it on the Cloudflare side. Like if you rebuilt a whole page and you want to make sure everybody sees the newest version, if you're going to go into WP Rocket or whatever and clear the cache, like you also got to do it in Cloudflare too.
Yeah, I think there are a few plugins that there maybe is a dedicated plugin that I've seen in the past which literally does that. You know, it just busts the Cloudflare cache. It doesn't do much else, but it's quite handy having that in the WP admin, so you can just click that button and I guess you drop in some API keys or something. Can't remember how that's done. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
A lot of hosts have their own bespoke button, like Kinsta, I know for a fact, has a bespoke one in the WP admin dashboard that pops up and lets you clear their cache, same kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So I derailed you there. You were talking and I got in.
No problem. Mm. Another big area that the free version gives you is this product called Access.
Okay. And don't know anything about
it. It's a whole other like separate portal that exists. You click Access and it takes you to like this whole other page. And what it does is it's effectively like the ability for you to provision access based on sets of rules to your site. So in most cases, I don't use this except when there's like a proprietary login screen that only specific people should access. Or like if the site is sensitive enough that we do actually need two-factor authentication, instead of relying on a WordPress plugin, which again, if the attacker gets in, they can simply just disable that plugin. The Access product inside of Cloudflare effectively gives you the ability to add two-factor authentication to your site. So if somebody goes to wpbuilds.com/wplogin, they won't even see that screen load. It never actually even hits your server until that two-factor action has been completed. So you could have it be an email to only your email. It could be Nathan at, you know, and that's it. That's the only place that two-factor code goes. And if they don't succeed, they're just never even shown the login screen.
And that's on the free tier, is it?
How
did I not know about that? That's so great. I love that. Okay.
That one used to be buried. It was like under security and this other thing. And now they brought it out as like its own kind of standalone package. Yeah.
So you can just specify a page or a route. And you can say, I don't know, do a 2FA with an email or something. So respond by clicking a link on an email or so. That's brilliant. Gosh.
It's incredible because I mean, it's extremely flexible based on what the needs of you and potentially your client are. Like for example, if the login page should only be accessible by people with an @WPBuilds podcast email, like then it could be Nathan and Tom and Sarah and Kate. Like you don't have to go in and input all of those. As long as that email exists, then it's going to send that to them and then they'll be able to log in. Okay,
so you can set rules within rules. So you set up the rule on the front end of the site, if you like, and then you can have sort of domino effect of a different set of rules around, I don't know, if the email address is this, then you're good to go. Okay, gosh.
And also, like, it's important to keep in mind that with Cloudflare, all this stuff is stacked in these layers where they all interoperate on, you know, either forward or behind of other rules. So, like, in most of my clients, when we have that plumber country blocking rule, that one is then followed by manage challenge on the login page. So only people who are inside of the country who then also try to reach the login page are shown that challenge.
Yeah.
And then an additional layer is they can't even reach the login page if they don't have the correct email or, you know, text message verification code or whatever it is. So it's this whole like suite of things that it brings together that I find lovely. Is so incredible.
Yeah, I like that. Any more?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I could pull up my little script.
That's fine. Honestly, I think you've whet our appetite. I like I said, I've just had this cursory relationship with it. The clever people that I know all think that it's the best thing. You know, they're all like, I'm on Team Cloudflare, this kind of thing. And I'm just piggybacking off their knowledge really. So I've just made the assumption that everything is brilliant and works over there. Obviously, there's this single point of failure problem, which the entire world knows about when Cloudflare goes down. I do know of a couple of hosting companies in the WordPress space who are now starting to lean into Cloudflare and Cloudflare workers and, you know, putting different pages and things like that on different on the edge in different ways. I know that's kind of a new thing as well, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a way that you can host websites. WordPress, I don't think at this time can be done without extra complexity, but you can host basic like static sites on Cloudflare through their workers system, like you said, completely for free. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm sure there's some limit to visitors or bandwidth or something, but that's really cool. And another neat product that also exists, it's technically free, kind of pay as you go. They have a whole database like backup system that exists called R2.
Yes.
And yes, I taught this course maybe about a year ago on this hosting product called Cloud Panel. Funny enough, Cloudflare and Cloud Panel are confusing. Yeah. But Cloud Panel is effectively like a server control panel that you have full access to, and it can back up the whole server, including all the individual sites, to Cloudflare R2. So then you have this like backup similar to a Google Drive or Backblaze or whatever that can all just be right there inside of your Cloudflare account. So there's just, it's kind of one of those things that it's impossible to convey how many things you could do. Yeah,
that's right.
Because there's so much in there, but also because you and I don't build things in the same way.
No.
So what I find cool, you might not, but there is for sure something in there that you know, you'll be blown away with as well.
It genuinely is absolutely fascinating. So I guess what we haven't done so far, I will put it in the show notes and I'll mention it in the preamble to this episode. Where do we find the course that you're talking about today?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just on my website, it's jonathanjernigan.com. And there's a little courses button and you'll see it as soon as you click on that.
So I'm going to spell your name just in case anybody is listening to this and, you know, can't see the text. Let's put it that way. So it's Jonathan in the normal way. And then Jernigan, J-E-R-N-I-G-A-N. So jonathanjernigan.com. Go there and search for the Cloudflare course. Is there any other place online where you typically hang out? I know you said you're trying to inoculate yourself from social media, but perhaps you're a LinkedIner or something like that.
Well, I mean, as much as I like to talk about, you know, eliminating social media from my life, I'm not completely cured of the addiction. So
it's not possible.
I still poke around. The place I think I spend most of my time in the WordPress sphere is inside the admin bar. Facebook community.
Yeah.
And that's just a place. It's actually, I wanted to mention too, there was just a thread like a few days ago about somebody who was having bogus checkouts on their WooCommerce site. And so a bunch of people chimed in and they said, here's Cloudflare rules that you can do to stop this. I had this exact problem. Here's exactly what you do. And it was so cool.
Yeah, to see. Like, nice bit of shit.
We've talked about the admin bar many times.
Yeah, and Kyle's been on here too. Yeah, Kyle Van Dusen. You should go and check it out, theadminbar.com, I think. Certainly Google it and you'll find it. So that's great. Well, I appreciate you chatting to me today about that. Go and check out Cloudflare. Check out Jonathan's website and go and subscribe to his course because you know that it makes sense. Jonathan Jernigan, thanks for chatting to me.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. If you did or if you didn't, doesn't matter. Head to episode number 463 at wpbuilds.com. Search for the episode with Jonathan Jernigan if you can't remember that number and leave us a comment there. We would love that. One last reminder, if you're at WordCamp Asia and you're listening to this during that event, come and find me. I'm on X. At WPBuilds, admin@WPBuilds.com if you want to use email, and I'm also on the WordPress Slack as well. It would be very nice to hang out. Okay, that's all we've got for you today. I'm going to fade in a bit of cheesy music and say you stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.